what does it mean to have a blessed life? Lord Jesus, we put ourselves before you and we want more of you in our lives in 2018. And we come before you with our hearts open, with our minds open to receive from you a message this morning. I pray that this year, 2018, would be a blessed year. As we explore what it means to live a blessed life, I pray that we would reconsider how we live our life. And just focus on depending on you and walking with you closely and living a life of stewardship. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for who you are. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. I want to start this sermon with the theme. Okay, the theme is very simple, but it's very straightforward. And this is the theme for this message and really the thought processes that go underneath of all the sermons that you're going to hear this for the next few weeks. Here it is. God wants us to live blessed lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to live a blessed life? Because I think as we explore the Bible, as we explore all of His words, I think it is clear that God has this desire in His heart to bless His people. I think so many times we don't understand what it means to be blessed by God. I think we have a discrepancy in our mind what it means to be blessed by God. And I hope this sermon here shares a little bit of a light of what it means to live a blessed life with God. I have an aunt in Brazil. She's number 4 out of 11. My dad has 11 brothers and sisters, and my aunt, Tia Elza, she's number 4, right? She's a short little lady. She's like 5'2", very skinny, you know, like the roses are all like that. My grandma's a little Italian lady, and my aunt is just like my grandma, a little lady, right? And she works very hard. She works very hard. She cleans people's houses and irons their clothes, right? That's what she does for a living. She makes about $300 a month. $300 a month. She has a nice little house paid off. She has microwave, refrigerator. She has a queen bed. She has a little VW bug. She lives in one of the most less developed part of the Goiânia, the town I was born in. The last time I talked to her, she was cooking to my dad at her living room. She has internet in her house. And she was cooking to my dad, and I was talking to FaceTiming my dad. And I talked to my aunt, and she was like, "I am blessed, Sam. I am blessed. God has blessed me so much." And I'm thinking, wow. Wow. This lady makes $300 a month. She has some of the things that we think is like, what in the world are you talking about? I'm like, having a refrigerator for my aunt is a big deal. Having a sofa for my aunt is a big deal. Having a little house with these 3 rooms, you walk into her house, the Lord has been there, you open the front door, there's 4 rooms, you open the front door, there's a living room with a little door to bedroom, to another door that you go to the bathroom and the kitchen, and that's it. And she called herself blessed. One of the last guys that I interact with in Brazil, in my dad's church, while I was in Brazil, his name was Gugu, that's his nickname. He was a millionaire, right? A millionaire guy. He came to my dad's town to pray with my dad in a helicopter. He left São Paulo city, got on a helicopter, came to Campinas to pray with my dad at the church. And he parked. He came down in his helicopter in the field in front of the church, parked there, came into the church to pray with my dad. And I remember talking to him, and he called himself. He said, I'll never forget this because I just couldn't perceive it. He's like, "I am one of the most cursed men, Sam. I am cursed. There is a curse over me. I don't feel blessed at all by God." The word in Portuguese is amaldiçoado, right? That's how I feel. I feel cursed. So as I was putting this sermon together, both of these individuals came into my mind, one with nothing, called herself blessed, and one with everything, called himself cursed. What it means to be blessed? What is a blessing? Is it having a lot, not having? And what does that look like? What does a blessed life look like? What do you think the Bible says about having a blessed life? Do you consider yourself blessed or cursed? Do you consider yourself blessed or cursed? I mean, I think we need to define what blessed means, right? The ESV translation of the Bible has 112 references to the words blessed, blessing, and blessed. The Greek word translated blessed in the New Testament passage is the word makario, which literally means to be fulfilled, to be satisfied. It refers to those receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances of their lives. That's what the meaning of the word is. It's a straight meaning. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 and 10 and 11, Jeff read for us, that Jesus is the Sermon on the Mount, and here's what Jesus says, is that blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you. See, here's the thing, because we live in the 21st century, if you're poor in spirit or if you're mourning, you don't call yourself blessed. What do you call yourself? If anything, distressed, right? Distressed, you wouldn't call yourself blessed, because blessed has this idea of like a bliss, you know, like everything is going smooth and well. But here you see, by the characteristic of these people, you see that blessed has to go beyond circumstances in life. James chapter 1 verse 12 says this: blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. I mean, here is James once again say, hey, it is not about the circumstances. It is not about what's going on in your life. Blessedness does not matter in what happens in your life. It is not about what's going on there. There's something beyond that. In the Hebrews, the word for blessed is the word beraka, which is defined as to say or do something good for another. That's the definition of the word beraka, the blessed word in Hebrew, is to say and to do something good for somebody else. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 shows us an illustration of that. God is having a conversation with Abraham, and here's what he says, right? Abram at the time, and says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll do good to you. I'll say good things about you. I'll bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. God came to him like, I'm going to do good to you. I'm going to bless you. And you will do the same to those around you. That's the whole point of being in the family of Christ, of God, right? Being adopted in the family of God as a child of God is that we are, God is doing good to us. He's blessing us, and that we in return, we say and do good towards others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. I love this because this is a promise to Abraham, right? And so many times we don't want to appropriate that to ourselves, and I think that's a mistake. I think we are Bible-driven people, not New Testament people-driven only. And God is making a promise to Abraham here that I think extends to us, right? He's saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do good to you so that you can do good to others. And those who are doing bad towards you, I have my eye on them. You don't have to worry about it. I will take care of you. I will protect you. You don't have to protect yourself. Rely on me. I'll take care of what's going on in your own personal life, right? So it is a promise of God, and he goes on to Abraham and say, like, hey, all the families of the earth is gonna be, it's gonna be blessed through you. We are children of God's blessing also. So as I examine all the 112 passages, I came to the conclusion that being blessed means having God's supernatural power working for you. As I examine all 112 passages on Scripture, I come to the conclusion that to be blessed means to have God's supernatural power working for you. By contrast, being cursed means having supernatural power of God working against you. The days of a blessed person are filled with divine coincidence. Have you ever met someone saying, like, talking about the Jesus coincidence? You know, the God coincidence? You know, the how God is moving in their lives and there's no supernatural things happening? You never thought something would happen, but then somehow God, out of His sovereignty and His grace towards us, He moved and then something happened? So, like, the days of a blessed person is filled with these divine coincidences and heavenly meaning. Blessed people may or may not be wealthy by the world standards, but they enjoy a quality of life that billionaires are looking to, are searching, and would be envy of. As I was talking to my aunt, I'll bring you back to that story. As I was looking to my aunt and I was talking to her, I was looking around my house and I was talking on an iPhone 7 with my dad, right? And she still have a flip phone. I was thinking about all the things in my life that is like, I am not satisfied with. And here's this other lady just looking at me. It's like, I am blessed. I have everything that I need. And I'm looking at her. It's like, aunt, no, you don't. I envy the simplicity of her life and the blessedness that she has. At several points in the Deuteronomy passage, in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells that those who obey Him, that He will bless everything which they do. And I think that's what my aunt was saying. She said, Sam, I have all these things because everything I do, I feel that God is with me, that God, the supernatural power of God, is with me. She was not talking about necessarily the fact that she doesn't or doesn't have anything. She was saying that everything she does, everything she says, everything she touches her hands on, she prospers. At a different time, I was talking to her. She was talking about how she was going to change, going to clean a different house. And she told her boss, the lady, that she was going to clean a different house. And the lady said, like, no, you're not going anywhere. How much more do you need? Like, no, I have a difficulty with my son. I need a little extra money. The lady's like, no. I feel like that every time you clean my house, there's like a peace that comes. Every time you're here, there's a peace. You clean so well. Everything you do is so well done. I want you to keep doing that. You know why? Because my aunt knows that God, the supernatural power of God, works through her life. It is a simple thing as cleaning people's house or ironing their clothes. Who prosper in everything they do, right? And that's what blessed means. Throughout the Bible, to be blessed, it is that everything you touch, everything you do, and the things you say prospers. Do you have an example of that? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 29 says this, and the Levite, because he has no portion of inheritance with you, and the sojourners, and the fatherless, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within you, your towns, shall come to eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. On chapter 15, verse 10, he says the same thing, that God will bless the work of your hands. On chapter 23, verses 20, the same words are repeated. God wants to bless everything you do, the work of your hand. And then on verse 28, on chapter 28, verse 8, we read this. The Lord will command His blessings upon your life, and you'll be blessed in everything you say and everything you do. See, here's what, so that is what the blessed life is like, is everything you touch does well. God's strategy of blessing encompasses every area of your life. Blessing permeates every aspect of who we are and what we do. If that is our health, our relationships, our work, our family, our emotions, our thoughts, our marriage, our finances, our ministries, our cares of life, our education, everything. To be blessed is not to have stuff. To be blessed is that whatever you involved with, it prosper. Whatever you touch, whatever you say, it is moved by God, because God's power is working through you. That's what it means to be blessed. It's not about having. It's not how much, how fat or how skinny is your bank account. It's not how good your car or not good your car is. It is not how you dress. It is not how you look. It is how God is manifesting of his power through your life. The question is, are you blessed? Do you feel blessed? Do you feel that everything you touch, do you feel that as you're in your workplace, you're sitting there typing in the computer, do you feel God's power moving through you? As you're driving down the street, do you feel God's power through you? Do you feel blessed or do you feel cursed? See, here's the thing. Because the Bible tells us that God wants to bless us, we have a God-given right to excel in all areas of our lives. See, we don't understand that, and we're so afraid of the word blessed, because we know what people has done with that word out there, right? And we're trying to bring here in the biblical perspective for us to understand. So many times we tied blessing with the prosperity gospel, right? And they do what they do. I'm not criticizing anybody. What I'm saying is that in a biblical perspective, God wants to bless us, and to bless us is that He wants to work through us, so that everything we touch, everything we say, it is godly, it is blessed, and it's God-given right for us to excel in all areas of our lives. God wants us to live blessed lives. Here's the problem, though. The problem is that we often don't live lives that God can bless us by. Do you got that? That God wants to bless you. You shouldn't have no doubt of that. And I think the problem is that we often don't live lives that can be blessed by God. God's blessing to us comes in a conditional aspect. It is conditional. If you can't live a life that pleases God, it is very difficult for God to bless you on that. God's blessing to us are conditional on how we live our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I have it up there for you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. Very important. I would love for you to spend some time on Deuteronomy chapter 28, 29, 30. Okay, you understand God's strategy to bless his people. But here in verses 30, chapter 30, verse 15 and 16, we say this: I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Moses is giving the law to the people, and God is asking them for a response. God wants them to commit to God, right? It's like, here's what I have taught you. Moses is teaching you. I'm giving you all these commands. I'm giving you a way of living. And now he's coming to the end and he's saying, listen, I have set before you life and good, death and evil. It is for you to choose. It is in your hands. You're the one who got to choose this. There's a good part and a bad part. Where are you going to stand? He goes on and say, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I command you today, that's Moses telling the people, by loving the Lord your God, by walking his ways, and by keeping his commands and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will. Say that out loud. He will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Moses is coming to the people like, you have a decision to make. You got to live for God. And he specifies by loving him, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commands and his statutes. When we live a life in a way that glorifies God, that is God-like, I mean, there is no doubt that God wants to bless us and wants to multiply whatever is going on in our lives, good in our lives. He wants to bless us. So many times we're not receiving God's blessing to our lives, not because God is bad, not because God doesn't want to bless us. It's because we're not living a life that God can bless. The biblical concept of being blessed by God have made me realize three keys that determine what it means to live a blessed life. I think there's three keys that things that we need to understand and apply to our lives in order to gain the blessings of God's life. Do you want to be blessed? I do. I want everything that I touch, I wanted it to prosper. So the first one, the first key in living a blessed life and living this prosperous life that God has intended for his people is to live a life of dependence on him. We ought to depend on God. God's goodness is bestowed upon those who depend on him. We have misplaced our dependency on things that can't bring the blessings that we dream of or wanted. So here's the thing. So many times we place our dependency on like, there's three things, right? We put it on material things. We think the material life is going to give us what we, you know, the more we have, we call ourselves blessed. Isn't that how it goes? Like, you know, and listen, I like stuff too. Do you like stuff? I love stuff, man. It makes my life easier, right? When you have stuff, I'm not taking it away from the stuff. But the material thing, you know what they do? They fail us, right? They often fail us. This morning, I woke up and I'm gonna preach on blessed life. I'm pumped up and I'm gonna talk to my people about being living a blessed life because God wants us to be blessed. And I open my gate and my gate doesn't work, right? You press the button, it goes up a little bit. Garage door. Sorry, we don't have a gate. It's a garage door. Thank you, wifey, for having my back. She bosses me around even at church. Joking. The garage door. Got it there, press the button. It goes up like 2 inches. And I press it again, it comes down. Press it again, go up like 2 feet. Press it again, goes down. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Press it again, go up again. Are you serious? I'm talking about blasting. My old garage door doesn't open. Press it again, goes down. Press it again, goes up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Right? Go out there, get my car, frosted on the window. Not blessed, right? Open the door, put the kid in there. Nothing. You gotta be joking me, man. I gotta talk about being blessed and my car doesn't start. Right? I was like, what? You know what? I'm going to just get Laura's car. Started right up, came to church. She walked to church today. Listen. Material things, you know what they do? They fail us all the time. So we are depending on material things, things that fail us. Do you got it? We are depending on them. And I'm giving you something that happened this morning. My car, my garage door opened and failed me. And it doesn't matter what you have. It will fail you. iPhone's battery fails you. The second thing we depend on is people. Now, I don't even have to tell you about how people fail you, right? Can you have one personal story of how you trusted someone and you're there hoping that they would come through to you and they failed you? I mean, we do that all the time. We fail people and people fail us. So we depend on material things that fail us, and then we depend on people that fail us, and then the third thing we depend on is ourselves. We depend on ourselves. I have the willpower to do whatever I want to do. And then soon enough, we find ourselves failing our own selves. Do you want an example of that? The best example of that is gym. January 1st, everybody goes to where? To the gym, right? Oh, this year is going to be the healthiest day of my life. I'm going to eat good. I'm going to exercise. And I'm going to get on that treadmill. And I'm going to get on a diet. And I'm going to look like Sam Rosa. Don't do that. That's a sad life, okay? I'm gonna bust it out. I have this picture in the magazine that I wanna be like, and so you go there, and the first day you go and you're great. I'm great. I'm doing good. Second day you're like, oh man. Third day you're like, tomorrow. I started tomorrow, right? Tomorrow I'll go there. I tell you this like it's my own story, right? Thursday I've been working out, but I started to get more in the rhythm, and then on Thursday we got a message that schools didn't have school anymore, right? That the kids got canceled school, and I looked at the message because it was too cold. I looked at the message and I looked at my pillow and I said, you know what? Workout's gonna be tomorrow. It's a simple thing. Think about our career. You say, hey, this year is going to be the most productive, and then you fail yourself. I fail myself. We're going to fail ourselves. We depend on things and people and ourselves, and we need to stop with that. We think that our blessings come when we depend on those things. Blessing comes when you depend on God. God will never disappoint you if you completely depend on Him. Look what Psalm 146, chapter verse 5 tells us. Here's what it says. The Lord God blesses everyone who trusts Him and depends on Him. Psalm 146, verse 5. See, look what Psalm 62, 5 and 7 tells us. I depend on God alone. I depend, that's David saying, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in Him. He alone protects and saves me. He's my defender. And I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. I love this verse. David is like, every single area of my life, I have put it before God. And I depended on Him to save me, to protect me, to be my shelter. Look what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 7 tells us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Isn't that what we do all the time? We want to make a decision. We depend on our understanding. You know, let me balance things out. Let me think about this. Let me judge this. Let me think of ways of... No, don't depend on your own understanding. It is faulty, right? He says this. The author of Proverbs tells us this. Seek God's will in all you do, and He will direct your path. How many times have you made a wrong decision in life? Have you ever made a wrong decision in life? I have many times. So we're thinking, oh, I know better. I know better for my kids. I know better for myself. I know better for my husband. I know better for my wife. I know better for my co-worker. I know better for my pastor and for my church. Listen, you don't know any better. I don't know any better. If we don't seek God first, we will fail. That's what the author of Proverbs is saying. How many times we think we know better? We gotta come down of that little ladder a little bit, right? Humble ourselves before God and allow Him to guide our path, direct our path. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Come on. Isn't that what we are good at? Depending on our own wisdom? We're impressed. I want to show people I know stuff, so I go on talking. And they're like, no, don't stop. Stop trying to impress people with your own wisdom. Instead, respect the Lord and turn your back from evil. Turn your back on evil. Psalm 84, chapter 5 tells us this. God bless all who depend on their strength. God bless all who depend on you, God, for their strength. Philippians, chapter 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs, all my needs, from His abundant wealth because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. It is God who blesses us when we depend on Him, not yourself. Your supplies comes from God, not your own willpower. The second thing we need to think about here is obedience to God. Right? If you want to live a blessed life, you have to depend on God, but you have to obey God too. God's goodness is bestowed upon those who obey Him. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's promise to bless His people when they were obedient to His word. Blessedness from God, prosper, and everything you say and do comes from being obedient to God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28 says this, "See, I'm setting before you today blessing and curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commands of God, the Lord your God." There's an easy way to change from curse to blessing. Start spend time with the word of God and apply it to your life. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart." Luke chapter 11, verses 28. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. One last one. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 tells us this. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James is saying, listen, if you want to be blessed, you ought to do what the word of God say. So here's the thing. So many times in our own personal lives and what we're doing in our workplace, we are being dishonest. We're not working with integrity. We are lazy. And then we're asking God, why am I not blessed in my workplace? And God's like, well, because in my word says that everything you say and do, you got to do it for me. So when you work for God, you got to give it 100%. And we are not giving 100%. So we are not blessed in our workplace. You know why? Not because God hates you. It is because you are not living according to God's word. What about relationships? Do I need to go there? So many of us are failing our relationships. You know why? Because we don't love people as God has loved us. The last one, the last part is having this stewardship mindset. That's the last point for you. Is to have this stewardship mindset. And Psalm chapter 24. I'll read Psalm 24 for you. And I think it is up there. On Psalm 24, it has this idea that when you're a good steward of what God has given you, you are blessed. You live blessed life. So here's what it says. This is David, Psalm of David. Here's what it says. The earth is the Lord and all the fullness thereof. The world and all those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established upon the rivers. He's saying like everything that existed is God's, right? Everything that exists is God. He's the one who created, He's the one who filled it. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? Who can call the shots but God? That's what David is saying. He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his souls and what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the Lord, the God of Jacob. David is saying, listen, all that is in the world, it is not yours. You humans, we don't possess anything. Everything is God. He created, He instituted, He formed it, He established. It is not yours, it is God's. You can go up to the hill. God, you can go there. You can call the shots. God called the shots. But for those who have a pure heart, man, for those, God blesses them. God allows them to possess some things. And we come with this mindset. David's like, your mindset's not the one of possessing to have it, but the one who possesses to manage it. That's what David is saying. God, so here's the why stewardship is so important with this mindset of being blessed, because God has entrusted you with his stuff so that you can take good care of it and bless other people in the process. I have come to the realization that a blessed life is determined not by what you have, but what you do with what you have. A blessed life comes from what you have, but what you do with the things that God has entrusted you with. Psalm 24 tells us in a nutshell that as followers of Jesus, we ought to embrace a stewardship mindset in order to bless people. This is the mindset that reminds us that we owe nothing, that we are not here for our own benefit, but the benefit of others. God owns everything, and we are on his business to serve and represent him into the world. God's property is God's plan is to redeem and to amend the world, and he uses us, so he blesses us so that we can bless other people. That's the whole point of Christianity, is that God comes and he blesses us, and as we are good steward with what we have, then we can go out and bless people around us. It is not about us. It is about those around us. We want good be a representative of God into the world, right? Isn't that what we want to be? We want to be God's ambassadors, like really fulfill what Paul tells us. But we don't want to be good stewards of the things that God has given us. The only way to touch people's lives is to be good stewards to what we have. Think, for example, in relationships. We are very good in giving people advice on their relationship. Amen? Right? We know better. We know better. One of our friends are, it's just a story, one of our friends are having a marital problem, I know how to fix that. I know how to fix that. And then you go look in your own marriage, and then it's what? Crumbling down. Isn't that how it goes? So here's God is saying, like, listen, if you depend on me and if I bless you in your marriage, and then if you live a life of obedience in your marriage, then you can go, if you're a good steward of your marriage, then you will have the ability to help those who are going through a difficult time on that. Same thing in your workplace. If you're not good steward of your workplace, how is it that you're going to, I love this. I remember one guy come to me one day back in Jacksonville. He's like, Sam, I'm tired of my work. I'm going to get another job. And then I come to find out, I talk to his boss because it was a friend of mine. He's like, Sam, he comes late every day. He doesn't do his job. He just sits there. He's like stealing from me and doing all these things. And then the kid came to me complaining. I was like, dude, you got to be good steward of your job if you're going to get another job. How is that God's going to bless you with another job if you're not a good steward of the job you have? Oh, but God wants what is best for me. Oh, I'm definitely with you on that. But if you can't participate on God's will for your life, how is it that you're going to hear? How is it that you're going to participate in God's will for your life there? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this: bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. We all want to have friends out there. We all want to have relationships out there. But when someone stands against us and we can take off that relationship, how is it that we're going to take care in any other areas of our lives? If you can take care of the most difficult relationships you have, let me tell you, you're not going to be steward of the relationships that God has given you. As Christians, we have been entrusted with God's stuff. And we ought to take good care of it, even our own selves. And I finish with this, 1 Corinthians chapter 19, verses 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, who you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with your price. So glorify God in your body. You see, we don't even own ourselves. God has entrusted us with our own lives. We owe nothing. God wants to bless us because he knows we're completely dependent on him to live our own personal lives. So may this series reminds us that to be blessed, it is not to have stuff, but to live a life in a way that glorifies God. To live a life where everything we touched prospered because we're dependent on God, because we are obedient to God, and because we are good stewards of what God has called us, have entrusted to us. Let me pray. Father, we want to be like Abraham, a blessing for those who in our community, in our lives, in our family life. We want to bless their lives because we have been blessed by you. Father, I pray that this morning that we would know that to be blessed by you, it is to prosper in everything we say and do. Not because of us, not because of our willpower, but because we have a God who loves us so much and that he's working through our lives in what we say and what we do. We're just a channel. We're just an avenue of your power. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.